So our interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. A lot of life is interaction with other people. It is actually a large part of our life. The situations that we face in life, it has to do with people. And God is the one that made it that way. And He intended it that way. The Old Testament and the New Testament, there is a lot of teaching about our relationship with God, but there's also a lot about our relationship one with another. And Jesus was someone that set an example for us to follow of how we are to relate one with another. Now, there are some aspects of Jesus' relationship with people that we're not going to deal with, some of the more unpleasant aspects that we're not going to address this morning. But Jesus loved people from all walks of life. He loved people that were very different than Himself. He loved the uneducated fisherman. He loved the educated tax collector. He loved the prostitutes and the children. He loved the Pharisees. He loved everybody, and He had a heart that was open to minister to people from all walks of life. And He left us, I believe, what is a beautiful example of how we're to treat one another. How we're to treat family, how we are to treat friends, how we are to treat and interact with our enemies and our brothers and sisters in the Lord. This phrase that I've written on the board, one another, that's talking about with each other, one another. In other words, it's not just me by myself, but it's talking about one another. In other words, that's talking about two or more. And you might be surprised, and I actually did a search. In the New Testament, there are over 50 verses in the New Testament that specifically deal, and it uses the phrase, one another, in teaching us how we are to relate one with another. So we're not going to cover all 50 of those. The nature of the message this morning may be a little different. We'd like to share a number of verses that the Lord would give us some perspective and understanding of how we are to deal one with another in a very positive way. I read in the national news this week that, and incidentally, it was in Salem, Oregon, and that's where I grew up, and that was just a little side note. But there was a Domino's that are being touted in national news as heroes. Some Domino's workers. There is a man in Salem that orders a pizza every day. And he does this, I guess it's been years, that every day, or at the longest, every other day, he orders a pizza online. So when the Domino's workers see this certain order come through, they say, oh, that's Kirk's. And so they got to know Kirk real well, because he was in every day or every other day. Well, there went a few days that Kirk didn't order a pizza. And the Domino's workers started to wonder if something's wrong. They said, well, maybe he's on a trip. And they said, no, Kirk doesn't go on trips. He stays at home. He doesn't get out. So after about 11 days, the Domino's worker said, you know what? Something might be wrong. So they looked it up, and one of the workers went to his house. They knocked on the door, and no one came, and the lights were on in the house. Went back to Domino's, and they talked about it and said, we need to do something. We just need to be sure he's okay. So they ended up calling 911 after 11 days of not ordering a pizza. Didn't show up. Something might be wrong. So they called 911, and the sheriffs went out and knocked on the door, and finally they faintly heard someone calling for help. They broke the door down and went in, and Kirk had had a stroke and was laying on the floor, and it was because of Domino's that he didn't die. He was taken into the hospital, and he is improving and doing better. Isn't that a beautiful story? Almost makes you want to order pizza every day, doesn't it? Do you know that it was because someone that was familiar with him cared? And you know the Lord wants us to care one for another. That's part of what the family of God is about this morning. Jesus taught us in John in the 13th chapter, In the 34th verse, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love," what? Who? One another. A new commandment. I want you to love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Do you know that the Lord has a great desire for us as God's people to love one another? He was talking to his disciples. Folks, love goes beyond just when things are going good. Love goes beyond when things are difficult. Love means that when I don't understand my brother and I don't have any earthly idea how my brother could do what he did, Jesus said, love one another. Love rises above misunderstandings. Love rises above when your children make a mess. Do you still love them, parents? Oh, you spilt the milk. Don't love you anymore. You're out of the house. What kind of parent would that be? No, there's a mess, so maybe there's a need for some admonition, or maybe not. It was an accident. It wasn't intended. Maybe they are being careless and there needs to be some modifications for some accidents. But do you know that you're there to help them clean it up and let's move on and do better next time? You know, that's what the Lord wants in a love one for another. It happens in our immediate families. That ought to be how we relate with one another at home. And God wants that to be in the family of God. Folks, we're all human. We're all prone to make mistakes. We're all prone to misunderstandings. And we're all prone sometimes to spill the milk. But Jesus said, I want you to love one another. In 1 John 3:11, he said, this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 1 John 4:7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another. It was repeated over and over. There are doctrines that affect how we live every day that are only talked about two times in the New Testament. About how we dress and things, we say, well, that's Bible, that's doctrinal. It is, but you want to know something that's even more doctrinal? That's told over and over and over and over, love one another. So if you want to please God this morning, want to know what serving God is about, to a large extent, it is about our relationship one with another. And he said, love one another. 1 Peter 5:14, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Romans 16:16 says this, salute one another with a holy kiss. How long has it been since you heard that one preached about? Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, I want to give some background here. The kiss during the time period of when this was written, it was the acceptable greeting in that society. So if you didn't greet someone with a kiss, what's going on? You know, there's some animosity. You're not accepting me as family or as friends because you don't give a kiss. That was a greeting. I know that our practice today is not a lot of people. I haven't received a holy kiss for a while. You understand what I'm saying. It was a token of peace. It was a token, it was a sign of peace and friendship and brotherly love that was common among the Eastern countries. Well, the purpose that Paul or Peter said this was that greet one another in a spirit of fellowship and oneness and unity. And their custom was with a kiss, so he said, greet them with a holy kiss. It would be kind of like me encouraging everyone here is greet one another with a holy handshake. That's the acceptable method of greeting one another. And if someone sees someone and withdraws their hand, that tells me something. And I would say, hey, brother, greet one another with a handshake. In other words, open up your circle and accept them as one in a greeting. I don't necessarily believe that this was given as an ordinance, like where we're going to go in just shortly, like the ordinance of feet washing, that Jesus said, do this and follow my example and do this one to another as I've done it to you. Paul, the apostles were encouraging the congregation, I want you to accept one another. Their custom was with a kiss, ours is with a handshake. If it's an elbow bump in another country, whatever it is, he was telling them, I want you to open up and be acceptant one of another. We understand? Well, Romans 15:7. So now we talked about loving one another, talked about greeting one another. Do you know there are people that will not? It's like I see them and I'm not going to greet them. Now, if someone doesn't want to be greeted, and there are people that don't want to be greeted, there are people that don't want to be part of your circle, and it's very hurtful when that happens. But you know, that's life too. And if I know it's causing a problem for me to go speak to someone, after a while I'm going to learn a lesson, and I will just respect that they don't want me to talk to them. Some may say that's right or wrong. Depends on the situation, doesn't it? Depends on the person. Maybe what they need is for you to just keep on until maybe finally it'll wear them down. And then other times you respect the fact that they're not interested. They want some space. I believe that. I know that's what the Lord's example was too. There were those that rejected Christ and he said, well, I'll just go somewhere else then. But the point was that he wanted us to do it in love. That it's not a spirit of, I'm not speaking to you. Folks, there's a spirit that the Lord can, that can get in people the Lord's not pleased with. So, love one another, greet one another. Romans 15:7, he said to receive. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us. You know, I believe this is something, and I know one of the telltale signs of a child of God is love, isn't it? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love. Well, there we go. One to another. But I also believe this is a challenge for us. That the Lord would help us to receive one another. And there's one passage that said, to receive not to doubtful disputations. In other words, to receive without suspicion. To receive without... Someone did something this week, and again, we all have our personalities. I study human nature. I look at motivations, and someone did something. I told her, and I said, I wonder why they did that. She said, well, does it really matter? I said, yeah, it shouldn't affect how I respond anyway, should it? In other words, whether or not they didn't have real good motivations, I still had an obligation to forgive, and we're going to get there too. But to receive one another means to accept one another. And understanding that we are all different here today. And there's a lot more that I have on my heart possibly for another venue and another time. But we are to accept as God's people. And when I say this, it means beyond these four walls. All right? And it goes beyond camp meeting. It includes camp meeting, but it goes beyond camp meeting. Are we big enough this morning to be able to accept someone's testimony of salvation if they're a little different than we are? Are we spiritually mature enough to believe in the power of God's salvation that I can accept that this person has been forgiven of their sins? Even if they are not directly in fellowship with the body of people that I fellowship with. It takes some spiritual maturity. It's easier to be dogmatic. It's easier to cut people off than it is to receive. It's a whole lot easier. It's a whole lot easier to explain, to just cut everybody off and say no one else is saved and we are the only ones. It's easier in the flesh. But the scripture says, receive ye one another as I received you. How did Christ receive you? I was broken. I was unworthy. And the Lord loved me. And he saved me. This morning, how can we do differently? Do you know that this is the essence? And I will say we are being challenged with this. And I'm speaking to our fellowship here this morning. To our group. We are being challenged on this, and this is the very essence of what the Church of God message was. The very essence of the Church of God message is that we accept and we will receive you as God has received us. We are not extending our hand to Babylon. We're not extending our hand to endorse where false doctrines are being taught. But are we big enough on a personal level to understand that there are other people that are saved that didn't come by way of this altar, but they came by way of the blood of Jesus Christ? And so the scripture says, receive them as I received you. I don't want us to lose this message, saints, but I will say we are in danger. We're in danger of losing this because some wagons have been circled because of some past splits and past hurts in the church. There have been some wagons that have been circled, and if we're not careful, we will lose the essence of what the message of the church of God was. And if we lose that message, we will become just another denomination that's doing a lot of good things and, yes, saved. Receive ye one another. Amen? Colossians 3:13. There's two one another's here. He said, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forbear one another. Do you know there's some forbearing with one another that we have to do? Don't you do that with family members? Any family members you have to forbear and forbear with. Now, you have to bear with them sometimes and forbear, but do you cut them off? Folks, you know, in the body of Christ, we need to bear with each other sometimes. Bear with someone in their infirmities. Bear with them in their weaknesses. Bear with them when they're falling short of the fullness of the standard of holiness. Doesn't mean preach less on it. It doesn't mean excuse it, but personally, bear with them and forbear with them. And that means going beyond. And then he said, if there's a quarrel, if there's a problem, you think saints ever have quarrels? We say, well, saints shouldn't quarrel. Well, we shouldn't. There shouldn't be strife. But do you know that there is potential for strife? In disagreement, in misunderstanding, and in differences of perspective, well, each will say they're 100% right. How can you have two saved and people filled with the Holy Spirit and both of them believe with the pureness of heart that they're right? How can that happen? I'll tell you how it can happen, because we're human. And it's usually the other person that's wrong, right? That's just human of us. That's why the scripture addresses these things. He said, you know what, you're going to have to forbear, and while you're bearing with them, they may be forbearing with you. So that's our job then, is to forbear one with another. And if there's a problem, he said, you know what, forgive. Because haven't all of us needed forgiveness? So he said, be willing and quick to forgive one another. And it comes in all places of our acceptance as well of people. It means accepting each other's humanity and personality differences and accept one another. I touched on, I preached a message in Sepulpa a couple weeks ago, and there's more there I believe the Lord has for us again. But there's a place that the Lord has to accept people as they are, without expecting radical changes in who they are, and not making people feel like they have to walk on eggshells. If you've ever felt like you had to walk on eggshells with people, I have. It's not pleasant, because it's like, I can't be myself. You're trying to, and the scripture's teaching us, love one another, receive one another, forgive one another, forbear with one another. And here's another one, Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God is for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do you know he was writing to congregations here? He wasn't talking to the world. He was talking to us. And he said, you know what, you be kind, but be forgiving and be tender-hearted. You know, if someone has a problem, don't be hard-hearted, but be moved by their feelings and their infirmities. Romans 14:13, let us not therefore judge who? One another. Have you ever had to work on judging someone? In other words, I'm going to judge. I'm going to have to really work at coming up with a judgment. You know, it comes pretty easily, doesn't it? It's a lot easier to judge someone than it is to forgive them. It's a lot easier to judge someone than it is to be tender-hearted sometimes, depending on who it is. You say, well, that's respecter of persons. Well, the Lord talked about that one too, didn't he? Scripture taught us not to be a respecter of persons. In other words, our differences of family, our differences of background, our differences of personality, he said, don't be a respecter of persons, but love one another. Well, judge not one another, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. If you ever are tempted to start judging, and have we been there before? I say temptation, maybe we went ahead past and judged. But do you know what he did in this scripture? He said, don't judge one another, but rather judge within yourself and say, I don't want to be a stumbling block to my brother. So if what I'm doing is causing a problem, and maybe it shouldn't be a problem logically and spiritually, but if it's a problem, what can I do to minimize the problem so that I'm not a stumbling block? And that means that all of us in our lives, and it starts, folks, husbands and wives, it starts with children, you relationship, brothers and sisters, in the body of Christ, and with everybody, it comes to the point that we are going to have to make some adjustments sometimes in our life that it really doesn't seem like we ought to be the one have to make the adjustment. But if we love one another, the scripture says, be sure you're not a stumbling block. So maybe it's a weakness of their faith, or maybe it's because of their hard-headedness. Maybe it is. Maybe it's just a difference of their personality that you can say, okay, can I adjust something so I'm not a stumbling block? For someone else, it may not be a stumbling block. The Lord doesn't want us to be living under bondage, okay? Now, if you're looking, well, I can't do this for them, and this one I can't, and this, and pretty soon we're all tied up in knots, and I can't be myself, and then pretty soon we're in bondage. That's not what the Lord wants. But he's saying if there are things we can do in our life to promote a spirit of togetherness and unity, that means unity is going to come at a cost. So what price are we willing to pay? And so that's why he gave this instruction. Judge not one another. Galatians 5:14, he said, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But here's some more specific instruction. He said, if you bite and devour, guess who? One another. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Do you know what it means to bite and devour? Really comes down to gossip. That's biting and devouring. Gossip, contention, division. Do you know what happens when we don't stay busy with the work of God, folks? You know what happens as a body of people? We start to be self-focused. Right? We start to look at one another with more suspicion. We start to judge one another, and we start looking around, and there starts to be too much idle talk sometimes about this one and that one. But you know, when you're busy doing God's work, when you come together, you're here to encourage one another and strengthen one another so that we can be fortified to go live for the Lord through the week and do God's will. But if we're not out busy for God and we've got too much idle time, the enemy comes in and causes biting and devouring. And so he said, let's not do that. So don't bite and devour one another. You'll consume each other. There won't be anything left. Well, Hebrews 3:13. Exhort one another daily. Now, if you can just take a couple of these home with you, I'm not going through all 50, trust me. But if you can just get hold of a few things that the Bible's saying here, we've covered quite a few already. He said, exhort one another daily. Wow. Where does that start? Does that mean we need to come here every day? Somebody said that's not a real great idea, huh? You know, there's life to live. I mean, it starts in the home, doesn't it? That's why we have family worship. That's why we spend time with our children, because we are exhorting them daily. And he said, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. To exhort means, by definition, to advise. It means to caution earnestly, to admonish urgently, to give warning. You know, there are pressures of life that we all face. And the instruction was exhort one another. Colossians 3:16, let the word of God dwell in you richly, the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. Who here likes to be admonished? Okay. Do you know this is part of the body family of God? I think we could do a little bit better sometimes. I think we could do a little bit better because part of the purpose of coming together was to admonish one another, not to crush, but to challenge and encourage and inspire. And yeah, there's some correction in that sometimes, to show a better way, to admonish one another, lest our hearts be hardened with the deceitfulness of sin. We face so much influence in the world that if we don't have this regular coming together, it's too easy for things to start settling in. Not that we accept the sin that's in the world, but we need to be hearing the way of the Lord, that this is what is truth, because we don't want to be adversely influenced by the world. And so this is why he said, consider over in Hebrews 10, he said, consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as a manner of some is. In other words, we need one another. We need that encouragement. We need that admonishment. We need to be warned that we don't start following after the things of the world, because there's so much power in the influence of the world. Folks, we need one another this morning. And people that isolate themselves usually end up getting in trouble because they don't have that, they don't have one another. They just have one. And they don't have others to kind of help balance and keep spiritual perspective. Well, you remember Jesus and when he washed his disciples' feet? John 13, he said, you call me Master and Lord and say ye well, for so I am. But if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's. For I have given you example that ye should do as I have done to you. Folks, this was custom in the country, and it's custom among God's people, because Jesus explicitly said, I have done this, I want you to follow my example. Here we have a picture of the Lord, the King of Kings, putting on a towel, wrapping a towel around him, and becoming a servant. So contrary to the kings and presidents and the powerful untouchables in our world today. And Jesus said, this is how what I want you to do one with another. A walk of humility. Bear each other's burdens. Galatians 6, 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill what? The law of Christ. This is the law of Christ. You want to know what it means to serve the Lord? This is the reason Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If bear ye one another's burdens, that means that we're going to have burdens sometimes. Do you know that the Lord wants us to learn to let someone help us bear our burdens? I won't take a poll, but I wonder how many of us are pretty independent. I'm just, you know, pretty independent, and I take it to the Lord alone in prayer. And there is a place for that, don't misunderstand me. But there is also value in a place that the Lord gave us the body so that we can bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Romans 12, 10, be kindly affectioned one to another. 1 Thessalonians 4, 18, he said, wherefore comfort one another. Comfort one another. Do you know this is the value of the body of Christ this morning? To comfort one another. And in conclusion, I'd like to end with Peter 1:22. He said, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. See that you love one another. And I would just encourage us this morning. I have been challenged with this, and I know that this may be a little more of a Bible study than maybe some types of messages, but the Lord has a lot to say about one another. So, love greet, receive, forgive, forbear, judge not, don't bite and devour, exhort. This is a lot of stuff, isn't it? Serve, bear one another's burdens, prefer one another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Kind of moved over that one quickly. But in other words, consider others more worthy than ourselves. Comfort one another. And I think it's just all wrapped up in loving one another. This, I think, just a big old bow with love on top. It encapsulates a whole lot of this. Folks, the Lord is interested in us loving one another. So it may not be dominoes that comes knocking on the door. But the Lord gave us each other. He gave us one another. And if we want to prosper in our homes, if we want to prosper in our blood literal families, if we want to prosper as a congregation and as a body of Christ, these are some of the principles that the Lord has given to us to make it an effectual working together. May the Lord bless you. I love all of you this morning. I just want to thank you all for being here today. You are all very important to the congregation and the body of Christ. So let's love one another fervently with a pure heart. Amen.